A very special time. Every opportunity we have to come together to worship God, it should be special to us that we know that we're coming to worship our Creator, our Sustainer. But it's also a special time, a special occasion that when we come together that we have an opportunity to examine ourselves. You know, Paul tells us that in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 28, I think it is, where he says, "But let us examine ourselves." And it's a challenge for us, or at least it should be a challenge for us, as we examine ourselves to see where we stand each and every day. He went further in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 to say this. He said, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith." He said, "Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates." Now, how do we do that? How do we examine ourselves? How do we really look at ourselves and say, this is the life that I'm living, or this is the standard, or this is what's wrong, or this is what's right with what I'm doing? Where is it that we get a scale? You know, we look to man, don't we, really? A lot of people will look to a man, and we try to use that as a scale. We try to use that as a judge. But we all know that man cannot save the lost. If we're looking to a man, whether it's a preacher or a friend or a family member or whomever it might be, man can't do anything as far as saving the lost. Now, what we can do is that we can preach and we can teach and we can encourage and we can be an example, but not one of us can take someone who's lost and save them. So that's not a good standard. It's not a standard for us to say that we're going to judge ourselves, or we're going to think of ourselves, and we're going to look and say, as long as I'm better than David, or as good as David, or wait a minute, let's do this a little more fair. David's an elder, so I don't have to be as good as David as long as I'm close to David. Is that the standard that we go by? Is that how we're going to look at it? You know, man can't save the lost, and man can't make you a part of Christ. Now, Paul said in Ephesians, he said that Jesus is the Savior of the body. So what we have to do, and most everybody in here is, I'm sure, but most everybody understands that what we have to do is we have to take our sin, we have to take our life, our uncleanliness, our dirtiness, if you want to say it that way, our life, and we've got to take it and we've got to get clean. We've got to get cleaned up. And we do that every day, don't we, Jacob? And how that we work, if you ever see us when we come back in, and y'all seen them on Wednesday night sometime, they're dirty. They're dirty from head to toe. So what we do is we have to go home and we have to, A, clean ourselves, and we clean our clothes. And then we look at ourselves, we'll look in a mirror, and we'll say, okay, we're clean. And it's the same way with our soul if we think about it, because when we start off in life, we don't know right from wrong and we don't know sin, therefore we don't baptize or we worry about infants or we worry about children till they get to a certain age because we got to have an accountability to ourselves. But once we know what sin is, we start collecting it, don't we? We collect it in our life. Because we can have good intentions and we can be on the right track, but it's not long till Satan gets a hold of us, and it's not long till we start gathering up sin in our life. And then when we walk in there, Jacob, and we look at ourselves, and that's what Paul is telling us to examine ourselves. He's saying, look at yourself and see how clean you are. And with sin there, we're dirty. So we've got to get clean, and the only way we can get clean is through the blood of Jesus. And the beautiful thing about being a Christian is when we do fall, when we stumble, when we sin from time to time, the blood of Jesus reaches out there and it cleanses us again and again and again. Because we're walking in the light and we're striving to live that Christian life. So what is the standard when we examine ourselves? That's really the question. It's not man. We can't turn to man. So what do we do? There's only one thing that we can do, and I try to stress in my class in the back on Sunday morning, is that we've got to read and we've got to know our Bibles. I challenge the young people this morning, as we think about our idle minds and thinking about making decisions, let's spend some time, and I think this would be great for all of us in here, not just the younger kids, or younger adults, I'm sorry. Not just the younger adults, but for all of us, spend some time in learning and memorizing verses. Understand the scripture and find, I hate to say key verses, but understand those verses that we use often, especially those when we think about salvation and we think about baptism and we think about living a Christian life. Learn those verses. Put those in your heart. Put those in your mind and memorize those. Spend some time in God's Word so that you can build your faith, and then you know where the standard is, because the only standard that we can have is from the Word of God. James said in James 1, verses 22 through 25, he says that the Bible is the only true mirror. Doesn't do any good for me to look at you or you look at me. Because we all have different faults. We all have different temptations. We all have different things we fall to. But look at verse 22. It says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." Listen to this. "Deceiving your own selves." That's the first red flag for each one of us. He says, be doers of the word. Don't just hear it, but do it. Because just because you know it and you don't do it, you're deceiving yourself. You can say all day long, I know what the scriptures say, but if we don't follow the scriptures and we don't do what the scriptures say, we're fooling ourselves, thinking in some way, because of our knowledge, we're okay. But he goes further and he says in verse 23, "For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in the mirror. For he behold himself and goeth away, and immediately he forgetteth what manner of man he was. But he that looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth in it, and being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Look in the mirror. How do we examine ourselves, as Paul was saying? We look in the mirror, we look at ourselves. We examine ourselves. Where am I falling short? What is it that Tim needs to work on most in my life? Is it being humble? Is it being compassionate? Is it language? Is it whatever it may be? This, when I look at myself, I know this is my weakness, and that's what I look at and say, I've got to fix this. This is where I fall short. Don't walk away from that saying, I may not be good here, but I'm great here. Look at it, and let's get ourselves examined and look in the mirror and clean ourselves, if you will. Well, there's a few mistakes, I think, that people make, and I started with that one, really, in a sense that we judge ourselves by other people. And we need to stop that if we are. Stop judging ourselves by looking at other people. But we do have to judge ourselves by the Word of God. But here's some others. They may not apply to you, but I think we can see that they apply to a lot of people. Some people take feelings and emotions. They'll look at their life and they say, I feel this way, or I think, or my emotions is leading me this way. Some people say, follow your heart. Whatever your heart says, do it. In other words, whatever feels good, maybe do that. We often hear, I know that I'm a Christian because I feel right. And I hope and I pray that all of y'all take opportunities to talk to people about their soul and about their life. I've talked to some people over the years that were not Christians. And I hear this statement. I hear people say, I feel like I'm going to heaven, or I feel like I'm a Christian, but yet they've never obeyed the gospel. So we can't let emotions get the best of us, because feelings and emotions can be misleading. If you don't think so, think about Paul. You know, Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13 says, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor, But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. We can go down the wrong road because we think we're going right. We can make the wrong turn. And you know, we can apply that, and we can all understand that. Jacob and I are going to be leaving next week to go to Illinois. Did I say that right? I left the S off. Illinois, everybody told me I better get it right before I get there. They'll make fun of me. Was it right, Keith? Illinois. We're going to Illinois. I went yesterday and I bought me a GPS so I could put up in my window so I can see how to get there. Because, you know, it's real easy. Y'all may not have this problem, but it's real easy to get in the wrong lane or make the wrong turn and end up lost. Wendy and I carried, and Daniel carried Jay on a bear hunt in Wisconsin back several years ago, obviously before he passed away, and we got in the wrong lane coming back through, and I saw a sign that said Chicago. And then I had to pay to get through a road to get turned around and come back. Then I got in the wrong lane in the toll booth, and I ended up driving right on through it, never paid, never nothing, and then I got worried about it. Saw a state trooper down the road. This is a little off subject here, but either way, I'm going to finish the story now. I got down the road a little piece, and I saw a state trooper. I got worried about it, so I pulled in and asked the state trooper. I said, I went right on through that toll road back there. He said, what'd you do that for? I said, well, I didn't mean to. I was in the wrong lane. I couldn't get over. I said, what do I need to do? He said, are you ever coming back up here? I said, no, sir. And I said, but I want to do the right thing. He said, just send back a dollar. I said, you want me to write a check for a dollar and send it back up here? He said, I don't care if you do or not. He said, but if you want to do the right thing, you mail a check back up here for a dollar. I said, okay. I come home, mailed a check back for a dollar, and they cashed it. They wanted that dollar. Point being, let me get back on track. The point being is it was easy to go the wrong way. In good faith, I thought I was headed toward Tennessee, and I wound up in Chicago or right at the edge of it. And that's really what Paul's saying here. He said, I done it ignorantly. I didn't know. I thought what I was doing was right, but it was wrong. So we cannot let our feelings guide us and direct us when we examine ourselves. And then the third thing I wanted to mention as far as looking at things, and I think it applies today. I've heard people make this statement before. I've heard them say that I keep the commandments. I don't know if y'all ever heard people say that. But some people judge their life by the Ten Commandments. And a lot of people that will say that leaves off one anyway, keeping the Sabbath day holy. But they'll take the nine and they'll say, I'm keeping these commandments, therefore I'm right. Now I'm going to tell you, that is a great standard. That is a standard that we all need to hold near and dear, and we need to know that those are repeated in the New Testament except for the Sabbath day. And those are ways we ought to live, but just because we know the Ten Commandments and just because we may follow 7, 8, 9, maybe some people follow all 10 of them, that does not put you where you need to be. So we can't take and say and take part of the Bible and say, this is what I'm going to hold on to, this is what I know, and this is what I'm going to follow. And that's where some people get to the point and they say, you've got your faith and I've got my faith. You got your belief and I got my belief, and I'm following mine and you follow yours. Because from there we can go to what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, the first 3 or 4 verses there, the 7 ones. And we know what they are. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. When we think about one faith, how can we all have different faith if it's only one of them? So we can't take part of the Bible, whether it's the Ten Commandments or whether it's the Old Law or whether it's part of the New Testament, pick out a verse, pick out a chapter, pick out a book, pick out an idea, and say, this is what I'm going to follow. It doesn't go that way. We must not attempt to determine our relationship with God by comparing ourselves to others as well. And I've done tied that into the introduction. So how do we examine ourselves? How do we look at ourselves? We look through the Word of God. I challenge you tonight to be a student of the Bible. Take time to read the Bible. Take time to study the Bible. Don't take it home. I say it often, but don't take it home, shut your Bible, and lay it on a shelf or on a table and wait till the next time to come here. Read it. Understand it. Help yourself to build your faith. The second thing when we think about our faith tonight I want to mention is we have to mend our relationships. We have to examine ourselves, and when we examine ourselves, don't just leave it at that. In other words, don't look at your life and say, okay, Tim told me to look in the mirror. I've looked in the mirror. I say I'm weak right here, and I'm going to work on that. But when you look at yourself and you examine yourself, what relationships have you got in your life that needs mending? We don't want to go through life with relationships destroyed, that we're pulling people apart. And the first relationship that's most important is your relationship with God. Isaiah 59 and verse 2 says that sin separates you from God and he hides his face from you, that he will not hear you. Therefore, that relationship with God is the very first one we need to mend. If you look at yourself, you examine yourself, and you say, I'm not very close to God. Mend that relationship. Steve Foster said one time, I don't know if he said it in class or said it to me, he said it to me a few times when we were talking. One of the things he said was he had rather be, and I hope I'm right, correct me if I'm wrong, he had rather be one step from hell headed toward heaven than headed toward heaven, or toward hell, I mean. He'd rather be coming this way toward heaven than headed toward hell. Is that right, Steve? Is that close? Did I destroy it? Good enough. Okay. And that holds true today because our relationship that we want to mend is with God. Let's don't go through life looking and saying, I'm not close to God. If we're not close to God, why not? We've got to build that, and we've got to make sure that we are getting stronger and stronger and stronger each and every day of our life. And it may mean that we come back to God. It may mean we come back to God again. It may mean that we come back to God again. It may mean that we come back to God every day of our life because we're struggling. But don't let that relationship be destroyed. And then third and finally, we need to mend relationships with other people. Don't let relationships be destroyed. People are depending on you. There's people that need you in their life. There are people that are struggling to be a Christian. There are people that are struggling to come back to God. There's people that need you to lift them up, to be that encouragement, to be that example, to stand with them when things are hard. They need you to do that. Really and truly, what we've talked about here tonight is a idea for each one of us to be a stronger Christian. We start by looking at ourselves. We mend relationships with God, then we go out and we bring other people closer to God. Because we've looked at ourselves, we corrected ourselves, and we brought God closer to us. When we bring God close to us, great things are going to happen in our life. We can make a difference in other people's lives. Tonight, we're about to sing a song of encouragement. If we can help you in any way, if you're not a Christian and you want to become one tonight, we'll be glad to assist you because of your faith, your willingness to turn away from sin, your willingness to confess that Jesus is the Son of God, then we can baptize you tonight for the remission of your sins. But if you're here and you need the prayers or you need forgiveness, come right now while we stand and sing.